welcome, 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 welcome to another show, the Four Men Four Real Show. I am one quarter of the Four Men crew. I am Conley on board. I got Big Hen with us. Say what's up, Hen.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
All right, all right, all right. And I got Big Ed on board. Say what up, Ed.
Good evening, good evening. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good.
Evening,
good.
Sir.
I'm doing. Yeah. So, how's everybody been, man? How's everybody been this week?
Been pretty good, Conley. Yeah, long week for me. Had duty this weekend, so I ran that straight tour. Working. Luckily, I'm off tomorrow finally, and having me a little celebratory taste right now.
Taking a trip to Long Island?
No. I'm trying a little Four Roses single barrel Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. Let's see how that works out. Blanton's is very good, but the little girl in the ABC said this was comparable, and I'm about to sip it now. So, Eddie, how was your weekend? Your week, a couple of weeks since we've been on.
Honestly, they've been extremely busy. I'm really, really tired. I've been doing a whole bunch of video recordings and voiceovers. I'm about to do an expansion company launch in a couple of weeks, so that's consisting of advertising ads being created, videos and voiceovers and stuff like that, re-editing, and me being a perfectionist, so that's not good enough, redo that. So I'm really tired, but it's been a productive last 2 weeks. It just yields just tiredness and restlessness.
All right, I feel you. What's up, Brother Joe? Good to see you, man.
Long DC days, man. That's about it. Working until 6 and then driving through traffic till 9.
DC. That sounds disgusting.
Welcome to my world, brother.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's been a hectic two weeks. Well, for one, since the last time that we all been together, and for those who are listening out there on internet land, me and Brother Eddie celebrated our 54 years. The Brown and Gold Frat, September 19th, 1963. So that was a good positive week for us that week. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to participate in any of the events at any of the local schools around here. What about you? You get involved with anything?
No. You know, I didn't have time to do anything like that.
Well, congratulations to you both, gentlemen.
That's outstanding, man. That's a great thing, man. So where did y'all have it? Was there what city did you have it in?
It was everywhere. I mean, every chapter,
yeah,
you know, just like
exactly.
You guys, like you guys, every chapter does something.
Oh, this was the actual. This is actual Founders Day or whatever, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Now, are all y'all's founders still alive?
We have some. We have a few that are still alive. Not all of them are dead. Brother Slade is still alive. Yeah, about three, maybe four. I think
that's
still alive.
Yeah. No, have
passed.
I think the majority of them. Yeah, you're exactly right, actually, Conley.
Because we lost the one brother in Vietnam, so
that was initially
So other than that, and then it's, for me, man, it's just been stress with the kids and all that. So let's get right into it. I actually had another topic that I set up for the next show. This has been this week nationally has been a really I don't want to use the word eye-opening, because this is something that's been going on. This has been going on for years. I can't think of the word, but it was very enlightening, or it brought to a head something that has been boiling under the surface in this country. Of course, everybody knows or has been paying attention to TV, news, newspapers, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, T-shirts. This big thing that Donald Trump ignited regarding the NFL, and which all started with Kaepernick taking the knee, and this huge blow up that's been going on. I labeled this show today Crossroads. And the reason that I labeled the show Crossroads, because I was laying down watching Rachel Maddow, and of course Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell, and listening to, you know, every single night how Donald Trump has put his foot in his mouth, igniting this whole tinderbox regarding race relations in the United States. This country is quickly coming to a crossroads, and the crossroads is in the direction of how are we going to be governed? How are we going to are we going to revert back to the age of how we deal with each other from the 60s and later, I mean earlier, or are we at a point where we are going through growing pains of progression? Now, I'm not a football watcher, and brothers, please jump in and tell me if I'm mistaken. But when this stuff started back under the when Kaepernick started this speaking out against, or his pledge thing regarding the flag, it was for the Black Lives Matter movement regarding how police brutality towards African Americans was on the rise. Am I right or wrong? Am I right on that, or am I wrong?
Well, I don't know that it was directly for Black Lives Matter, the organization, but I do know Kaepernick kneeled down because of the inequality, the injustice to those of color in the U.S.
Actually, here's some insight on this. Before Kaepernick took a knee, he was already sitting on the bench. He told the coach, he said, "I'm not standing for the national anthem, because why should I stand for something that the promise of America has been denied to me and black men throughout the United States, when police are shooting us in the streets and there's no retribution that's done for these police? They continue to go on working. So I will not be standing for this." And they said, "You don't want to stand? Okay, then just be quiet and don't stand." He originally sat on the bench. Nobody noticed this until almost the end of the season last year. And I think it was in the last 3 to 4 games or something like that. And then they started bringing it up. Well, no, it wasn't the last 3 or 4 games. I think it was like maybe the last ten games of the season. Then they started bringing it up. Nate Boyer, who's a special forces guy, who went to college, got selected, got drafted for the NFL after he finished his degree, and now, and then he started working for the NFL. Even though he made the team, but he didn't last. So now he's working for the NFL. The NFL, he went out there and talked to him. He said, "Hey, man, instead of sitting on the bench, why don't we take a knee? Because that way, at least if you take a knee, it means a little something more, a little bit more symbolic than, you know, we take a knee sometimes when we go up for, you know, when a brother in arms dies, we take a knee in front of the rifle that's upside down with his boots with the helmet on top of the rifle, right?" So, at that point, Nate Boyer went out for the next game. He went out with him. Colin and Nate, they both took a knee. Other players also took knees with him. After that, Colin was supposed to be picked up by some of the other teams, and everybody started denying him. Everybody. And then all of a sudden, there's these write-ins by some of these right-wing nut jobs that are sitting out there talking about the same old, same old. If you're a black man or if you're a person of color, you should be happy that you're here and happy with whatever you got, no matter how bad it is. So that's where it started. And now Donald Trump tried to put his two cents in on it. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You don't tell millionaires what to do with their money. And that's how they feel.
Right. So what I was getting at is it started with him, meaning with his goals or his mindset of one thing. The whole thing now has morphed into what it's being played out into the media of something as if a person is not being patriotic. Is not showing allegiance to the country. So Donald Trump decides to put his two cents in and decides to go at and saying to tell these owners saying, "Hey, these boys that you have out here," and he did, I'm not quoting him directly, but we can read between the lines. "These boys that you paying these money to, you know, they're doing this. You need to get rid of them." So, which ignited a firestorm that people were that teams were coming out in droves. The first time that I saw anything when all this stuff kicked off, I believe there was a game. And I don't understand why this was going on, but there was a game that they had. I guess the Ravens and the Jaguars had a game in London, and both teams decided to show their dissent. But the dissent wasn't based on what Kaepernick, you know, had originally started for. The dissent was a big FU to Donald Trump. And that has been picking up steam publicly throughout all the other teams. So how do I tie this stuff all into where we're coming to a crossroads? Anybody, you know, African American will sit there and tell you, you know, this country is has been racist. And even though it was very well covered after the late 60s, after legislation was put out there and a somewhat chilling effect of the straight in your face racism, with Donald Trump running his campaign, being elected, and from day one trying to push through not legislation, he hasn't pushed through any legislation, but these executive orders that are all race-based. It's starting to get to the point where you're it's gotten to a point where it is completely divided the country. Are we at the 60s and 50s level? No, but we're pretty damn close to it. So, Joe, was it, correct me if I'm wrong, or Henry, or Eddie, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, Trump went down to Alabama and campaigned for, in the Republican primary for, I believe it was a Senate seat or a House seat. I'm not 100% sure, but there was two candidates. It was a Judge Moore, and I can't think of the other guy's name. But anyway, this Judge Moore, if anybody thought that Joe Arpaio was bad, this guy was a judge, an elected judge. He was put out of office. He was stripped of his judgeship for basically the same thing that Joe Arpaio did for not complying with federal laws when it comes down to the Ten Commandments. He had a statue put up, and then they were told to take it down. And he was elected again as a high court judge in that area, and he was stripped of that again. So he wins the election. The man goes on stage, pulls a gun out, and he's a Second Amendment believer. And if you listen to some of the stuff that this man had, of course, the left-wing media, they're going to dig out the dirt of him. And if you've listened to some of the stuff that he has regarding gays, African Americans, if you thought Joe Arpaio was bad, this guy doesn't have anything on him. We're getting to a point now that all the somewhat of the normities where just even with the election of Donald Trump, where things that you would in your political career, calling somebody a nigger, anything that you could think of that these, you know, that would end your political career, all this radical stuff, this is what's being elected into office. With these people coming into office, these laws, just like Donald Trump tried to do, now it's going to start getting to a point where these radical laws have a possibility of being ratified. So this country has gotten to a point. Are we going to continue on the path of covering up racism? Are we on the path of actually, now that it's in our face again, talking about it, trying to move past it? Or are we just going to go full blown and just say, you know what I'm saying, look, kick all the blacks and the Mexicans and all that, and is this country truly trying to move into a truly white a white America country? It's getting to the point where it's sad and it's scary. If the country no longer has a conscience, where we're electing politicians with history such as this guy, Donald Trump, Joe Arpaio, and there's scores of others. What does that lead? What does that mean for the future? How are we going to? What does the face of America? What does America look like in the next 2, 5, 10 years? It literally is getting to the point where you have blacks versus in others versus everybody. Every single day you open up, you look in the news, you've got something racial that is making the mainstream news. And not to say that it didn't happen in the past. In the past, maybe because it wasn't in the past, it wasn't reported on. We somewhat kept the lid on that on that stuff. Maybe it didn't happen in the frequency that it did. I can't speak on that in a 100% positive matter about it. But to this point now, we have police officers out here going on African Americans. It's open season. It's like duck season out here. Today, I got my father sent me a video on Facebook. And brothers, I'll share that with you. From my hometown in Boston, Massachusetts, in this town of Milton, there was a police officer that he was straight beating the crap out of this one guy. And then the person that was videotaping these police officers, they arrested them too. Police brutality is the norm now. So where does this country go? I'm actually gotten to the point where I'm nervous on which way this is going to go. I don't see African Americans as docile and peaceful as we were in the 60s and the 50s and so on. So when you have that mixed in with this growing temperature of racism from the other side, that's going to turn out to be it's shaping up to be a really dark and dangerous time for the United States as far as within its borders. We've lost the confidence of the international community. That was destroyed January 20th. We're on the brink. We are literally back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. We're on the brink of war. And then internally, we are tearing ourselves apart, fighting each other over white and black. Where do we go from here? Which path are we on? Somebody chime in on this one. Which way do we go? Is this something that's going to chill? You think this is going to blow over? Or is this something that, you know, it's here and we're going to be fighting this for a long time? Henry, Joe, Eddie, any one of y'all want to jump in?
I think that what ends up happening is when we see eras come to an end, like you see the end of an era, you're going to see a backlash before that end of that era it comes to an end, like a culture. So, it's like they always used to say, when you're choking somebody in combat, all because they start fighting harder at the end doesn't mean that you let go. You choke harder and kill it. So, this is not I mean, this is just how it is. I mean, when we brought slavery to an end, we were bringing it to an end, and people started fighting back harder. I mean, it just is what it is. You're not going to see racists. I mean, because they got good reason to be where they are. They got good reason to act like they're acting. I mean, let's look at it like this. At one time in this country, if you were white, you could walk into a place, say, "Hey, I want a job." All you had to do was show up with what my mama used to say, face and ass, and you could get you a job. Now you've got to compete. And one of the things is for people that had nothing, at least at the end of the day, they could say, "Well, at least I'm white." So, you know, if they were going up and they saw some black person driving down the street in an Audi, it said, "Damn niggers," but at least I'm white. So at least, you know, so it's always been an economic, I would say, an economic bulwark that these people had the feeling that at least if I was white, I won't fight as much to get the money that I think I deserve or compete, but at least I'm white at the end of the day. Now, that world is gone, you know, or it's going away. You're not going to be able to justify a kid with a high school diploma or less or no diploma at all, and then you sit him next to a black man with a college degree and say, "Y'all both got the same job, and I'm going to pay him a little bit more than I'm paying you with the degree." You can't pull that no more. That stuff worked back in 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. Mm. You ain't going to be able to do that in 2017. And these people know that they can't pull that no more, and it scares them to death because – when you have to sit down there and say to yourself that somebody is better than me, I know it, and what can I do about it at this point because I haven't tried to do anything about it, like make myself better, educate myself, or I'm too lazy to do these things, that scares you to death because you know you're never going to get out of where you are. So you've got some people that are feeling that fear. They're scared to death that they're never going to be better than some of these people in society that they always thought they were. And now society's let them know you are not better than them. So, anybody else?
Yeah. So, wait a minute. I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry. You said something, Joe, that, and I don't know, maybe I just took it out of context or whatever. You said these folks have folks, period. I don't care what color they are or whatever. You got good white people, good black people. You got racist white people. You got racist black people. You got racist people, period. But you said they have good reason to feel like they do or to act how they act, and I'm not sure because nobody
when,
has
when,
a good
when I say,
reason.
When I say, no, let me explain.
Can I finish?
Well, I was going to – yeah, go ahead.
So what I was saying is nobody, in my opinion of it, nobody has good reason – to treat another person any kind of way they want to because they feel less about themselves. Self-esteem, it's called self-esteem for a reason. So
okay.
Nobody has a good reason to treat somebody of color or nobody has the right a good reason to feel like they can continue to that have helped to build this country, that have fought and died for this country, like shit. So, I did ask you a question, so I'll let you respond. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I just
right.
heard you say
what
they got good reason to be scared and
when I say you have good reason, what I mean is that they have a clear and present danger to the easy life that they had, whether they got it fairly or not. In fact, I know they didn't get it fairly. They got it by subjugating a people. So, but what I'm saying by good reason is, yes, it is being threatened. You know, it's not going to happen anymore. There's people out here that are not going to let it happen again. I'm not going to let it happen again. So,
okay.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's going away. So when I say good reason, yeah, they should feel scared. If you're going to be lazy in society and you think you're going to look at me,
okay.
I mean, no, what I'm saying is if you're going to be lazy in society and you think that you're going to get over just because you happen to be a certain color, then you're going to look at me or you mm-hmm. or anybody else and say, I'm better than you, even if I'm lesser in education, lesser in ability, lesser in this. No, you can't sit up here and say that, and you know it. You can't say it. You know,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's where
you for
I see
clearing
it.
That. Yeah, thanks for clearing that piece of it up. I appreciate that. But one other piece to that, you say, you know, yeah, you folks can't sit against somebody. And I don't want to turn this into hating white people, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm just saying this is about, to me, I think this conversation we're having is about, again, the same thing Kaepernick was kneeling for, is inequality, injustice. So I shouldn't have any reason to feel any different than anybody else when the blue lights go on behind me when I'm driving down the road. I shouldn't have to think in my mind, am I going home tonight? Okay, that's what I think this is really about. And you made a statement, or we said that, you know, well, you know, this is 2017, you can't have this person with a high school education put up against somebody who's got a college degree. I'm sorry, I'm not sure where you are, but that's happening all over the place still. I guarantee it's happening. Yeah, it still exists. It does. As hard as it is to believe, it exists. But I don't think this is so much about, well, that's part of it because that's inequality, so I went there. But injustice, again, not being able to, I got to conceal carry, okay? Virginia's open carry state. You can open carry. But you know what? I go to the gun range or I go to the gun shop or whatever the case may be, and every person in there, for the most part, is open carry. When I go in there to get a concealed carry case, and they go, why don't you just open carry? When I kind of look at them, I say, you know, a little different from me. Wait, what do you mean? I mean, just what I said. It's a little different from me. And we've seen that on YouTube and different spots where we saw it in Charlottesville. You know, you got people at a riot with long rifles. Okay? That couldn't have been us. That couldn't have been people of color is what I'm going to tell you. What I'm also going to tell you is you got mothers out there. I know I got a mom listening. I'm trying to spark her to call in. 646-668-2923. Join the discussion. But you got parents out there. I've got a friend of mine that has an autistic child that cringes every day. He's of college age now, but he doesn't react to a police running up telling him to stop. And it's not because he wants to be defiant. It's just his way because of his autism. So she's in fear constantly that something's going to happen and the police officer is going to take him and misunderstand it, and next thing she's going to be burying her son. I had just recently an individual of color, and I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but he was here in Prince William County that lost their son to a shooting, a 15-year-old who a call was made in, and it was on the news on Fox 5 and 7 and 4 and all this other stuff. A call was made in that this child had hit the brother's girlfriend with a crowbar. And that possibly had a bomb strapped to him or whatever the garbage was. Police showed up on the scene. Kid came outside, had an overcoat on or a jacket. He's dead now. A 15-year-old frail, not your 15-year-old beef-eating 6'2", 250-pound Hispanic or Latino or black child, but a frail 15-year-old that looked like a 10-year-old almost, had a crowbar in his hand, and a 37-year-old police officer, this is all public knowledge, a 37-year-old police officer, 7 years on the force, and my prayers for that guy, because he's got to live with that for the rest of his life. I wasn't in his shoes. I can't, it's even hard for me to begin to speak on it, but I can only talk about the facts. On the force for 7 years on the tactical squad. So this is no rookie. This is nobody that doesn't have any training and blah, blah, blah. But he shoots him center mass and kills him because he wouldn't stop coming forward. This is a 15-year-old frail child with a what's called. You got five or six cops there. They could have bum rushed him. Somebody might have took a hit from, but if they trained well, they never got hit by that crowbar. He'd have swung. They'd have been on him like white on rice. All of them had tasers. We didn't tase him. We thought he could have a concealed weapon or a bomb strapped to his chest, yet we shot him in his chest, which would have blew us all up, depending on the explosives. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. But it was a Latino Hispanic child, and we don't know. Again, I've got police officers in my family. Respect them. I respect the blue, because in every profession, you got bad, you got good, and so forth. But at the same time, we are being killed at an alarming rate, okay? And I'm not talking about the folks that we see that aren't complying. Those people, I understand. But we got people that comply. We've seen the videos. We've seen the videos of the cops shoot a man in the back, run up, plant the gun down beside him, and he gets acquitted. Guy's dead. So we see this, and nothing, that's injustice. This is what we have to fight against. Now, no NFL for me. I really didn't need Kaepernick to get me away from NFL for a minute, and I love the game. But I'm telling you, the Fuhrer, 45, just trying to spin it now and make it a patriotic thing. It's never been about patriotism. My man Joe, decorated, I believe, officer. Decorated officer, okay? And I don't know where you stand on Kaepernick, Joe, but I know you're a decorated officer. And tell me, are you disrespected by what Kaepernick is doing?
Actually, I'm going to tell you like this. I got a few Trotskys on my chest.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you like this. I stand with Kaepernick. Kaepernick is fighting for the right thing. I'm not watching NFL until they do right by him and do right
my
by
man.
Us.
Thank you.
And at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you the most patriotic thing sometimes is dissent. What this president is doing is honestly some of the worst things that we've seen since 1960, and he needs to stop.
So Henry, I don't mean to assume or put anything out there, but you're the oldest out of this group here. So I would make an I'm going to assume that you're around to see a lot of the stuff that was going on, at least in the 60s, at least in the early 60s. Is my assumption correct?
Well, I was a baby. I'm 63. So
that was a good year.
Yeah, it was. I know. I was born. Think about it.
So wasn't I.
So wasn't
Never mind.
I. What? Yeah, okay. So, no. So, yeah, you're right. So I'll tell you, if you think back or whatever, I remember heading to school one morning, and I believe this is when Martin Luther King was assassinated, and the military driving up. This may have been preschool for me or pre-kindergarten or whatever, because Martin Luther King got assassinated in, what, 65, 66? Or 65? Or was that JFK? Help me remember. I'm old. Conley just told y'all that I'm the oldest. Whatever the case may be. I remember when they started rioting, and the National Guard was driving up the street in the Jeeps, and they told everybody, go back home. Go back home. Don't go to school. Go back home. Everybody get in your houses, because everybody cutting the food. We losing it. And they did. We burnt down D.C. I'm sorry. D.C. was burnt down. Stores looted.
He was assassinated in 68.
68. Okay, so I was 5 years old, so I was going to kindergarten. That makes sense. So, again, now I'm telling you, you're right, Conley. My grandmother couldn't go to certain restaurants. She couldn't drink out of certain fountains. She had to enter houses through back doors or whatever where she was the maid and so forth. She ended up working in the hotel industry as a maid and ended up being head maid and all this other bullshit stuff. You know, she was great, worked for the Mayflower and all this other stuff. She's a great woman. And when she retired, she couldn't stop. She volunteered for D.C. public schools. They couldn't pay her, but that was just a woman. She was a woman of service. She was in service. She always wanted to do more for others. You know what I mean? A great woman. So, yes, I saw some things that I saw some things, and I was told about some things that were very close to what we're experiencing.
Yeah, the reason I wanted, because I was going to go with some question around, did you see a comparison, you know, of what was going on? But that would have been, you know what I'm saying, that you had to be an age to kind of remember that. So my next question is, Eddie, so you've got the youngest kids out of the group. What are you... are you sick with everything that you see going on? What are you saying to your daughter and then to your son about what you see going on and the level of increase of in your face racism as we see today?
It's not a big conversation that I have. I focus on where I want them to think about. If stuff is brought up, my rules in my house are if they're old enough to bring it up, we're old enough to talk about it. But my house, we don't have television in our house. We have stuff. My children watch YouTube, so everything that we watch, it's intentionally watched. So it's not just coming on haphazardly. So everything's intentional here. We have different conversations, race-related conversations and stuff like that, but it's not that in-depth because it's not a conversation that we're having. I'm intentional about pointing my children's minds in the direction in which I want them to go, which is also what I do as far as me. I just try to point and focus people's minds in the direction in which I want me, my people in the world to go. I don't give energy to or time to things that I don't agree with or I don't stand for. So that is my way of killing it. I think the things that you give a lot of attention to, you help it grow because you feed it. So I don't feed the things that I don't agree with or believe in, and I shift the thought process towards what I do believe in and work towards that to give that the kind of food and nurturing and nourishment that it needs in order for that to grow.
And Joe, with in your unique situation where your daughter is a mixed nationality child, are you having a conversation? It was just like, what was it the last time we was on the air? No, this was a mixed race, you know, a black or and white child. But are you having any conversations with your daughter about what you're seeing on the TV and dealing with anything like that?
Really, it's not. I mean, we talk about it in the house, and she gets it by proxy because of. Just because, you know, it's the common, you know, this is common knowledge. It's out there in the news. We talk about news. We talk about current affairs. Do we beleaguer it? No. Because we live in Columbia, America. We live in a part of, you know, the district of the DMV, which is a very diverse area. So you'll notice that. And if you live in certain places in Maryland and Virginia, you have a very diverse population. So a lot of the times you don't come up with these problems. So there are lots of little mixed kids around. It's not an anomaly like it is in some places in America. So the way they see it, they don't see the issues that we see for the most part. Do I talk to her about it so that she's able to deal with it? Because there's going to be a certain point she's going to grow up and she's going to meet with it. Yes. And we talk about it now, and we'll talk about it then when it happens. But for right now, it hasn't been affecting her so much at her level so far. So,
and this might go back a little bit into a conversation that we had in a previous thing, a previous episode. a lot of the stuff that you hear on TV, when you hear people make their comments, it always comes down to some type of, I guess I'll use is a stereotype. I can only talk for African Americans, for which I am, lazy, always wants something for nothing, always looking for a handout, dangerous, conniving. I mean, just all, that's always the stereotypes that you see the other side, the alt-right, always fire at us. So I'm going to ask this question again, and I think I might have asked it before. Do you think that we have put ourselves in this position, or earned the reputation that we have, that others put on us? I'm going to say we do. I love my brothers and sisters, but a lot of them, the mindset to better themselves, better their family, better their community. I do not see these brothers and sisters living up to what my grandmother and father, your grandmother and father, your grandmother's grandmother and father, you know, mother and father, and so on, those same uplift values that being instilled in our children and in this generation. Me and Henry would, prior to the show, were just talking, and he, you know, asked what was going on, and I brought up, you know what I'm saying, I brought up the kids, and we were just talking just on the instance of education or whatever. You don't see that drive and that urge in a lot of kids, and to better themselves or to better the next person beside them. Did we earn this?
So let me answer your question, Conley, and check for callers, because I got one that says she's trying to call in or whatever the case may be. I don't know whether you opened it or not.
I opened and they dropped.
Yeah, well, they give me.
I was in the middle of talking, so I couldn't.
No, it's okay. But they're calling back now, so when they do, just stop me. So what I want to say about what you just said, Conley, is I hear you. But again, I think we go back to when we had this conversation before. I think Eddie asked the question, Conley, so where are you looking at? Because stop. So look at your brother, Eddie, uplifting, entrepreneur, young black male, positive role model, you know, raising his kids. Look at your other one quarter of Four Men for Real, Joe. Living the dream, raising his daughter, taking her to college prep. How old is your daughter? Well, Joe, I don't know if you want to get personal, but his daughter is very young, and she's already got her I'm going to say MIT or Harvard or whatever, but I know you took her. So I know you're already at that level. Me with my kids doing the same types of things, getting my kids educated and so forth. Where are you looking, my brother? We don't deserve any of this. So do we have some folks in our community, in our that look like us, that don't do the things they should and aren't doing? Yes, but everybody does. So let's. We're not going. I'm not going to take it and say that we deserve this or we brought this on ourselves. Yes. So do some of the things some of us do. Not some of us, but some of us do. This sagging shit, like I told you, hip hop and everything is not just of color. It's white folks as well. It's everybody. But this sagging thing, you have all sorts of people sagging. So does it bring shame upon them as well? I'm not ready to say we brought all this on ourselves. We built this effing country. We built this country. We fought and died. Most of people. Did anybody see the Montel Williams? It was on one of the morning shows where he talked and started crying because he said simply, you know what? We got 5.3 million Americans dying right now in dire straits. And we got folks that never raised their hand and took that oath. Talking about Kaepernick and the football players aren't patriotic. This is the Furious 45. It's not just his, but this is his spin on it to take the eye off of the real reason that we did it. Everybody wants to make this about the flag. So if we really want to talk about the flag, I know everybody's seen it. It's flag code. You never laid the flag out. There she go. Caller, go ahead.
Okay, so for a really long time.
Caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, I'm Lee from Louisville, Kentucky.
Welcome, Lee. Go ahead.
So I was silent for a really long time because I didn't want to stir the pot to make things worse for my son because my son is biracial and I didn't want to draw attention to that. And then I started thinking one day, okay, wait a minute. You can't be silent. You can't be silent. So I started paying a whole lot of attention to a whole lot of things because if I don't make a change, it's not going to change for him or his kids or his kids' kids or anything else. It's not going to change. The bottom line is this. Racism has never gone away. And now 45 has made it cool to be a Nazi again. And I'm not cool with that. And so many different ways. I just can't explain to you. What I can tell you is this. If nobody stands up, it will not make a change. Nothing changes. I can't let that happen. I can't let that happen. I can't sit back and let people be punished, for lack of a better word, because they were born non-white. That blows my mind. I don't understand it. I can't get down with it. I can't agree with it. I can't nothing. Everything is money driven. Everything is money driven. So white people have money, and so they're trying to protect their money. So they have to make somebody bad. This racial divide that we're going through right now is the same type of racial divide that went down when the Nazis segregated with the Jews. People need to stand up and realize that this is happening in America right now, and we have to stop it. So how are we going to stop it? We need to unite like we're doing now. Luckily, 45 is a dick, and so we're able to kind of bring people together. But now what are we going to do? Because the only way to really make a difference is to hit those pockets. So how are we going to hit those pockets?
Well, Lee, and I agree with you, and I echoed everything just as he was getting elected, the parallels between Nazi Germany 1940 and what's going on now. The issue that I'm seeing is with the United, with all, you know, everybody coming together and all that, we are electing, and I'm not saying us here on this telephone.
We didn't elect those. You know, that was rigged. Money rigged that. Money made that happen.
But we are getting to the, we have gotten to the point, just in the instance of Donald Trump being elected, but now so much with the just seeing straight out that just played out on TV just the other day with Judge Moore and his checkerboard pass, we are now getting to the point where agenda of division is being put back into politics mainstream, and we are putting people in places to put this put legislation into place that can bring these things to a head. I mean, I said the same thing when he to people at work prior with people who were all for this guy, and the same thing that you was just bringing up. I used the same exact example. Somebody get in office, they open the door with some type of law or rule. It's the same thing that Hitler did in 1938 when he opened up and started stripping the Jews and then went to the ghettos and so on and so forth. It's the same thing that's happened now. Correct. The country is electing, and it's more so in the South.
Well, no. You have to think about this. This is not the same country that it was back in the day. This is a country now who thrives off of having that. I don't even watch TV. So what is it? The reality TV. Reality TV is what's running life right now. So every reality TV star is real life, and it's not real life. So every single thing that you see on TV is real, but it's not real because people are too lazy to educate themselves and do a little bit of work. So what we need to do is to educate people. Educate the people. Tell them, wait a minute, I you know what, you say that, but let me show you something else. And not even be, like, abrasive. Just be like, wait a minute. There's another side of this. And I've done this with many people. I've done this with so many people. It's not easy. I'm trying to do it with my family. And they voted for Trump. And every single time I'm like, but your grandson is black. Yeah. And then my mom's like, wait, let's talk about something else. No, let's talk about this now. Let's do it now. They shut me down every time. So it's a hard conversation. Nobody wants to really address the racism, so they're just going to say, oh, you're disrespecting the flag, because racism is a really hard discussion for people who don't have to deal with racism, because it's not a part of their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. No, it's here. It's here. So now it's up to the people to educate the other people because they don't want to educate themselves.
Ooh.
It's a movement.
You have to do it.
Colleen, can I just say this?
Yeah.
Lily, you touching my heart so hard right now.
Honey, you know I love you, Steve.
Girl, you know I know who you are. And and I'm just telling you, I feel your emotion and I feel your pain. You are so on point. Girl, you got to get the hell away from Kentucky. I got to get down there. I want to just hug your neck right now. You don't even understand.
My folks.
Okay.
Yes, but
Go ahead, Carly. I'm sorry. I just said, and I've got another caller or listener. Well, so listen, Lee.
You can wrap me up.
So
I'm
much.
Fine.
No. I'm not trying to wrap you up.
Second.
Nobody else
can
come in.
I got a quick question for you.
Carly, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're pretty much in me and you on the same accord. My biggest issue and the thing that bothers me is let's just focus on 45 right here. You can lay everything think you talk about education and educating people to with anything that's put out to legislation, policies, things that's needed. We lay every single thing out for the person, for the masses, right? And you lay out all of your proof that either this is going to come to pass or this is what has happened. And you still can't get people to see that this is the truth and this is what's going
on. You can't win everybody. You can't
but it's
win
not,
everybody.
It's not so much of winning everybody. It's actually to the point, for me, it makes me nervous to the point that, you know, this whole election with this guy, you know, I hear all the people saying I don't want no chicken office and Hillary Clinton was corrupt. But let's put it let's put it where the goats can eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The election of Donald Trump was a repudiation for Barack Obama.
Having a black president, correct.
Right, because the whole from the point of January 20th to today, the 28th of September, every single thing that the man has put out there and has enacted, there has been a huge campaign of trying to erase that. So with educating
because he was a black man, not because it was a good or bad thing that he did, but because only because they just what the what? Yeah, keep going.
So how is it how is it that you know the education of the I don't see. Okay.
I'm just going to be honest with you. It might be easier for me to educate them as a white woman because I am posing as a non-threat, and maybe that's what is easier for me to educate people because they don't see me as a threat. I walk up to them like, wait a minute, what you're saying is not right. Let me get you together, and that's what I do, and maybe that's why it's easier for me because white privilege is real, and I understand it. And I'm going to use it, and just like Cap is using his platform, I'm going to use mine, and I'm going to educate every single person I touch. I mean, I have lost so many Facebook friends, hunty, let me tell you, because I'm not going to stop talking. This is not going to be my last post about it. This is not going to be the last time that I have something to say about it, because this affects my lineage. This affects my child. This is real. I may never know. Actually, I will never know what you feel when you walk outside of your door because you are a black man. But I'm a white woman, and I will never know. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to kneel with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to do it with you. I'm with you. That's where I am. So I'm going to educate every person I touch.
How long does it take me to drive to Kentucky? I swear for God, I'm off this weekend.
Honey,
I'm about to get my car ride down there, just hug your damn neck, and come back home. Lily, I love
it
you, girl.
It is 10 hours,
thank you. Oh,
baby.
My God. Oh, my God. I'm just
thank
telling
you,
I feel you so much. Go ahead, Colleen.
Thank
I'm
you, Lily.
I'm practicing it right now.
Thank you for calling in, and please keep listening. And like I said, we'll be here every other Thursday. And thank you for calling in and sharing with us.
Yes.
All right, Lee. Well, you take care of yourself.
You too, baby.
Bye-bye. And caller, go ahead. Where you're calling from? And what's your name?
Dia from Atlanta.
How you doing, Dia? go ahead with your comment or question.
I'm coming in late, but I'm listening. I'm listening intently. And I just want to piggyback on the last lady that called. Every white person who was down for the cause, you should be using your white privilege to help out the cause. That's why you're here. That's what you should be doing. So a lot of times, like I have one friend, he gets on people's posts, and he goes extremely hard in defense of us, you know? And then you, of course, you get people that support his idea. But that's what you're supposed to do. Because I, as a black woman, can't talk to a person who is racist. They won't understand my point of view. However, if there's a white counterpart in this struggle that can help them see the point, then they'll listen to them just because, first of all, their skin color. Now that I've got your attention, let me tell you why you're wrong. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. I was watching The View one time. I've had this conversation with people before when Whoopi Goldberg and Rosie O'Donnell got into an argument. And Rosie O'Donnell was talking about the plight of black women and how afraid we are for our children to leave home. And Whoopi Goldberg's statement was, well, every mother fears that. No, they don't. Now, the average everyday, you know, kind of, my son's going out for the first time. He's driving. I'm kind of nervous. That's totally different than if my son is driving down the street and I'm afraid he might be shot if he's pulled over. Totally different. It's not the same.
So my thing is this. So another thing that you hear a lot, you especially hear Black Lives Matter, they're always getting backlashed, especially on the right wing media, it's always about the black man, it's always about the black woman, and it's always, you know, black folks can't get over this, and black folks this, and black folks that, or whatever the case may be. And I do agree that, you know, hey, look, we know our history, so there's no need to revisit it, all that. But and disproportionately, it affects us more, but it also affects other groups. So in the interim of fighting this cause, do you think that we should not be fighting this cause just in the name of the black man, the black woman, or should we be fighting this cause in the name of all those who, in the terms of America, are not American, come from America, where for some reason they have this idea that America is white people, where their asses came over here on boats too. So, but in this terminology, do you think that we should be fighting the cause in the name of Mexicans, Haitians, Jamaicans, Cape Verdeans, and all others? Or should we all start every group fighting their own battles?
There's an issue with that. The issue is, I'm sorry, go ahead, whoever's talking.
Go ahead, caller.
The issue is, now let me tell you something, how this is how my perception of this situation is, right? So when people, let's say you have a group of white people and they feel like they're being oppressed against, right? So white people will rally and they will do whatever they need to do to change that situation, right? So then the mass majority, I always have to defend us as a people when people say, well, black people always want to belong. No, the hell we don't. Excuse me. We want our own thing. It's just that people, when it comes to us, there's no ally to defend us as a people. But when it comes to black people, I will go and get everybody else's fight and help them defend themselves. The right thing to do is, sure, join the fight, help out. Absolutely. But will we get that? Probably not. So at the end of the day, black people need to understand, ain't nobody your savior. You're your own savior. Find you some like-minded individuals and change your community. One thing I tell my son is, your job, your first priority is to take care of your sister. That is his job. His second job is to take care of the women in his community. That's what he is supposed to do. Nobody's going to come join our fight. We need to fight for ourselves. Our problem is we can't stick together long enough to build a campfire, let alone fight oppression.
Come on.
Okay. Which goes back to something that I had said earlier. You know, the reputation that we that you hear us always being accused of, is that something that we earned? Being lazy, always, you know, get the hands out for something, you know, we never take a stand on anything, is with black folks, it's just whatever, and we'll kill and we'll kill ourselves and steal from our mamas, you know what I'm saying, to look after self.
So Conley, but that's not all of us, and every.
I'm not saying it's all of us.
I know you're not. I know you're not, Chief. But let me first say this thing, Dia. God bless you. Oh my God, that you called, and I don't even know what to do with myself. I gotta get JetBlue or something, because I don't know how I'm gonna get to Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, Atlanta, and all these other places to hug you y'all's neck. Oh my God. So, what I did want to say,
Dia, you're from Alabama.
No,
I'm from Atlanta.
She's from Atlanta.
I think the last caller was from Kentucky.
No, she was Kentucky. So that's still a hell of a. I can't drive to both of them this weekend. and I can't slight either one of them. So I ain't come to see either one of y'all, but I'm calling both of y'all. Y'all can guarantee that shit. Tomorrow y'all getting a call. So what I wanted to say, though, is Dia, where I hear you and saying we have to do for us as well. I do when Conley says, do we as a people of color fight together? You know what? A concerted effort is better than a segregated effort. So we do have to learn how to do for ourselves and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, if we band together as a people of color, okay, as a people of color, and guess what? White is a color. Didn't nobody tell y'all? White is a color, too. There was a lot of white folks marching with us. There were a lot of white folks, whatever. But if we band together, you know that financial? So I will just simply say it. The gays and the lesbians, gays, lesbians, heterosexuals, I'm not
Hello.
Heterosexuals, homosexuals, LTGB, XYZD, and I'm not disrespecting anybody, I'm just whatever. But you know what? They showed Wall Street what their financial ability was.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they did that, guess what? Gay marriage got approved. Everything else, gay legislation, this, the rain, they took the rainbow. Jesus said the rainbow was to remind us that he never destroyed the world by water again. Next time it's going to be fire. But guess what? They took the rainbow and made it something that God has said he's against. Neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
Religious thing. But whatever the case may be, I love my gay brothers and sisters, as well as my white, black, Puerto Rican, I'm allergic to assholes. I've said this on this show before. I'm allergic to assholes, and they come in all colors, sexual preferences, everything. You know, understand this. We just got to band together, and we got to start saying, you know what? We got to start supporting each other, and that's a hard thing. Because sometimes you try to support black businesses, and black businesses screw you as hard as they can. But I have a young black entrepreneur that's a part of Four Men For Real, Mr. Eddie. Eddie is, he has a relationship, no love to no love. Come on, Eddie, tell me what it is. Say it.
From no love to no love?
From no love to no love. Ooh, dear. Just the man you want to talk to. But not calling anybody out, I'm just saying, he has, and that's where it starts, is with the black family. We don't have a family anymore. We don't have a neighborhood. We don't have a village to raise. And we lost that, and when they tore that down, when they took our black men out of the community and put us on welfare, and we thought it was okay, it destroyed a lot. We've got to get back to that. So I've got a young black entrepreneur on this phone with us right now, a part of Four Men For Real. I got two black aviators on this phone right now with us. I've got two black veterans on this phone, one decorated. The other one, well, you know what, I gave my life. It wasn't a war at the time I went in. That's not my fault. But I sacrificed. I took the same oath that he took. We both did that. We both veterans. And he's an IT person now. He's working with stuff Some of it he can't even tell you about. So it starts with us. And that's the only thing we can do is start with us. Man, God bless you all. I love you all to death. I don't even know what else to say. Eddie, I haven't heard from you in a few minutes. Joe, y'all talk.
Dia, well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a call. And please continue listening. We're up here every other Thursday, and we appreciate your comments and your insight of things. So thank you so much for giving us a call.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So
I will say this. Go ahead, Colin.
No, go ahead, Joe.
You brought up the thing earlier saying about how blacks are perceived as lazy and things like that. I remember during school I did a little bit of research to find out where did this stereotype come from, because we did build the country. We worked for free for almost 250 years. So how did this thing come to pass that was kind of black people are lazy? I found out that there was this thing, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but basically back during sharecropping times and slavery, slaves would sometimes, because they couldn't outright revolt, you couldn't come up and just and say, no, I ain't going to do it, because they'll whip you or shoot you, right? So what ended up happening was that slaves would sometimes just slow down work and just not do work or break things in the process. Because that way, if we annoyed the overseers to the point where they just say that they're too stupid to do it or they're just too lazy to do this type of work, it's going to take forever to get it done, in some cases, they would leave you alone. So unfortunately, that stereotype comes from back then and from people deciding that they just weren't going to do anymore. They were just kind of almost doing a work stoppage. So
with this country being a capitalistic as it is, I'm going to pose this question to Eddie, the entrepreneur out the group. Education, as in getting up, getting on a pulpit and preaching and talking and all that stuff, it doesn't seem like it doesn't have the bite as it did in the past, or in the mindset that we are in now. It's not the same as it was back in the 60s. So the financially, like the Jews, and what happened in their past, and the way how they are now, if anybody says the word kike or anything that they don't agree with, should get shut down. What impact do we have that you think that can we use to fight with that? Do we have the financial bite, you know, to affect anything in this country or not?
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked, and it allows me to answer the young lady's question from earlier too. So the first thing I want to say is education is not going to help if it's not followed by empowerment. That's where we fail. We educate, but we don't empower the ability for change. So people know a whole bunch of stuff. We're in the information age. You can just Google anything, and you can find information. Half the information that we've been discussing, people know. Now, the problem is we're not empowered to make a change because the information that we're given just leaves us with knowledge but no ability to make action. So, which is why I'm passionate about what I do, and I stay focused on what I do because my No Love Incorporated company is solely founded on the fact that if I can create love in a household and through relationships, I in turn fix relationships, which in turn fix families, which in turn fix
communities, which in turn fix cities, states, countries, ultimately the world. Everything that we have an issue with, which we're talking about hatred, which is ultimately what racism is, if I can replace that with love, I can fix all of this stuff that's going on, which is why I'm passionate about taking care of the family. So I take care of that with that first. Now, as far as how do we get them financially? Now she brought up a very, very, very strong point. She said it's money. That is very true. Now, how do we fix that and take away their money? We learn how to make money, which is where entrepreneurialism comes from. So why I'm so passionate about my daughter understanding money and not necessarily going to college, but if she decides to go to college, already having a business established when she gets there, is because I don't want her dependent on the government. This is where our problems lie. If you listen, everybody's upset with the government as if the government owes them something. But if they knew how to make money, they wouldn't even be thinking about the government, and they can control what the government does. As she said, it is their money that we're taking away. So if we're making all the money, i.e. creating our own money through jobs and stuff like that and business, we now make the decisions just like the NFL people are doing right now. Joe said it earlier, can't tell a millionaire what to do with their money. So if I teach you how to fish, i.e. make your own money, you don't need the government jobs, you don't need those things, and with that you have control over different situations and you can create better communities for your people. So if we empower people on how to make their own money, we are not slaves to a job or slaves to a system that discriminates against us or does not give us fair treatment. And we then, which we're already spending the most money, if you're an entrepreneur, you have no choice but to understand how money works so that you're not wasting it frivolously. So with that will also fix our communities and ourselves and ultimately impact them, those people who we're putting in power. The problem right now is we're depending on those who we put in power, so we entrust them with everything. So we're not in a position where we will say, you're going to do this or else, because we think that those people are the ones that are allowing us to eat and make the decisions that we're making. So when we get empowered to where we can make our own money, we make our own decisions, and then we start telling them, like we should be doing in the first place, what they have to do, or what if they don't do, we will not support their businesses. Because in the end, as an employee, you're getting reamed the most through your taxes. They take your money first, pay off the things that they create the money for, and then they give you change back. With us, on the other hand, we give them the difference of what we decide is going to be taxed based off of what we use as expenses. So we get our money up front, and then we give the money back through taxes. Y'all get reamed for whatever they think they should take from y'all, and then they give y'all money back, and y'all get excited about your income tax. So
where was this young brother, Eddie, when I was 24 years old? Because I could have used you, sir. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because you just hit it on the head. You just damn nailed it. You just damn nailed it. College teaches people how to go to work for others, as opposed to making finance for themselves, making their own wealth. Oh, Eddie, you just, man, just, you know. So I say to the ladies, I'm not homophobic or anything like that. But Eddie, I'm sure
oh
your
my
ass
God.
Is, because I gotta come give your ass a hug too, because y'all are just on point tonight.
So that was one aspect of the question. So Joe, I'm going to throw this one to you because we have a variable that's in this society that wasn't around during that time in the past. But the other powerful entity in this country is information, especially now, so that it's instant information coming from the IT side of things. How do we control the information that's being put out there? What aspects do you see that we can that we can put our hands into to make an impact that way?
Well, I think one of the ways that we can control the message to a degree is we've got to start putting out positive views of ourselves out there. I noticed that we're quick to grab some world star hip hop, that type of entertainment. But, you know, we've got to start consciously putting better views of ourselves out there. Mass media, before we had the super mass media of the internet, on TV shows, if you saw a person running down the street from a police officer, he was what? Black. If you saw a guy that was selling drugs on TV, he was what? Black. If you saw a guy using drugs on TV, he was what? Black. But the thing is the stats don't lie. Most criminals are not black. Most criminals are Caucasian in this country. And also, the other thing is that we notice things because we happen to be surrounded by them, or not surrounded, but they're easily accessible. For instance, if you go into an inner city, well, you're going to see minorities, because minorities happen to gravitate towards urban centers. That's where the jobs are, things like that. But in areas where there are traditionally Caucasian people, i.e. the Appalachian Mountains, places like that, there are ridiculously huge problems with drugs. There's ridiculously huge problems with prostitution, things like that. There's ridiculously huge problems with white-on-white crime. So when we see these things from an urban perspective, it gets on TV, it's easily accessible to the media. But we've got to start changing that viewpoint ourselves by putting these good things out there, like the kid that got into Harvard last, I'm not saying one kid, multiple black youths that got into Harvard, Yale, all of the Ivy Leagues, some of them got into multiple Ivy Leagues. I think there's one girl that got into all of them, like two or three that got into all the Ivy Leagues, full scholarship. There was one kid that got into all Ivy Leagues and ended up going to Morehouse. There was one girl that went to Hampton University. So, another one went to Howard. We've got to start putting these good examples of black excellence out there, so that we have a good narrative. If we keep letting other people make the narrative for us, expect to see what they expect of us.
Hmm. So Henry, and we're pretty much getting close to the end, but don't cut yourself short. We can go over if need be. This last point. Now, I'm at the point of trying to come up with ways that we can, we can fight this fight or whatever, but the family side of things, the relationships, family relationships, or the family nucleus or whatever, what changes do you see that we need to make to that aspect now and in the future?
Woo, that's deep, and we don't have that much time, Conley. But
no,
what I will answer to you,
we can go.
Okay.
So
what I will answer,
keep it rolling.
Okay. So what I will answer to that question is is something I learned from my peer of one quarter of Four Men for Real, my younger brother.
Henry, hang on one second. Hang on a second. So this show is about to end live. So everybody that's listening online, thank you very much for listening into our show. We're gonna keep the tape going. You can listen on demand to this show and all the other shows that we've done here on the Four Men for Real show. And we will see you on the next time, which will be
2 weeks from today.
This. 2 weeks from today, tonight at 9:30. And again, thank you to all those two callers that called in. We appreciate your comments. Go ahead, Henry.
So what? I'm so lost right now. What was the question?
The family atmosphere.
So I think Eddie talked about it. He talked about relationships and building better relationships, which build better families. When you have better families, you have better communities, you have better neighborhoods, you have better structure. And it's not about all these people that are not doing what they're supposed to do. It's about us and doing what we should be doing and educating and talking to others to do what we should be doing, and that's how we make a change. It starts with me. Michael Jackson, sorry to reference him for those of you who don't like him, but he said it. It starts with the man in the mirror. If you can't face yourself and pass the red face test, you got a problem. Y'all reach out. Eddie, do me a favor real quick. Tell everybody how they can find you and how they can find No Love to No Love. Because I think that's important.
They can just go to www.facebook.com/ No Love Inc. That's KNOWLOVEINC.
I think that's such an important resource that we're not getting out there enough. We need to support you as a brother and make sure that we're getting that out there. Joe, I'm not sure if this is appropriate, but I'm going to do it anyway, and you tell me. Joe, I know you're in the IT profession right now, and, I mean, you're up there. So is there anything that you have to offer? I know there is, but I don't know how to actually put this. But, Joe, I know there's something that you have to offer people, too. So how can folks get in touch with you to get their entrepreneurship, if not entrepreneurship, but to get in the business world, into the IT profession, and get into where we're making the decisions and different things like that, or being a part of decisions that are being made? Can you give me something, Joe?
Well, just find me on the Four Men For Real website on the
okay.
on Facebook. That's probably the best.
Okay, place. And I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just, guys, we got to do what we can do. That's all we can do. And if we can't do anything else, we need to start at home. Start at home. Make a difference in what you do every day. Don't just exist. Be the reason. We keep talking about on this show, vote. Vote not in the major elections, but in the local elections. Make sure you're putting people in place that support what you believe. Go ahead, Conley.
Well, fellas, we are on overtime. I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. I enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate all you guys and everybody's input on everything. I don't know what the outlook is going to be for the future. I really don't. If you listen to me at the beginning of this whole journey that we've had over the last 8 months, here on this show, my rants and raves on Facebook, I would have told you that this asshole would have been out of office within 3 months, especially, you know, with all the investigations and everything that's taking place. We're not there yet. It hasn't happened. Days when I think we're close to it, we take you look down and it's still a long ways to go. But even with this guy being taken out of office, if that ever happens, it feels like there's a I guess. It feels like Pandora's box has been opened again, and this way that we are right now, this me against him feeling in America, is going to be in the mainstream for a good while. It's scary, especially with three sons and a daughter, and I'll be honest with you, none of the, you know, I've shielded all of my kids. I shield them all away from the stuff that, you know, Eddie, you from Jersey, me from Boston, Henry, I think you're from the South, and Joe, you're from the South. You know, we grew up in different environments. We know how this, how the streets can eat you up and spit you out. We know how to navigate and all that stuff. I've shielded a lot of that stuff from my kids, which I feel every good parent should. You don't want to influence. You don't want that bad influence and stuff corroding the mind of your children. But it scares me because I honestly don't know how to prepare them for the world that they're getting ready to enter. Voting is very important, and the local elections and the national elections, they're very important. It's very important that we as a people don't just pay attention to what color is the thong on that Beyonce is wearing today, or
well, that's important too. No, I'm just kidding.
or what's going on World Star or whatever. Education of what's going on around you. What is influencing your life? How you provide for your family? How you provide for yourself? Where you live? The infrastructure things. Infrastructure. Educating yourself about anything where anybody can put a rule and slap you either with a fine or jail time for not knowing, or somebody can take something away from you that can impact you for you being able to either buy medicine for your sick child or your sick mother, or you being able to put food on your plate. Educating yourself to not just what's going on in the world of glamour and glitz, but what's going on that influences your life. I really wish my brothers and sisters, and I'm not talking about you or those that listen to this show that actually and call in and make comments and stuff regarding what's going on, because they know they've educated themselves and they speak about these issues, you know, the healthcare and things of that nature. But there's a lot of brothers and sisters out here who do not. They're ignorant, you know. God bless it. I'm glad brothers came out in droves to vote for Barack Obama. But don't just vote for Barack Obama because he was that was very important too, because he was a brother. But what does he stand for? I mean, if the man would have went up on stage and said, well, hey, you know what I'm saying, vote for me and every nigga get a Cadillac, you know what I'm saying? Well, that's not good in itself. You know, where's the money going to come from to pay for those Cadillacs? Well, it's going to come from it's going to come out of your taxes, you know? So educate yourselves about what's going on. It's more stuff that's important in the world than what's going on World Star or TMZ or whatever the case may be. But this world, this country is changing. I mean, it's the stuff has been there, but it's now that evil snake is not afraid to hide in the corner no more. It's starting to flex its hood, and it's staring people in the face right now. And people need to be ready, you know, to strike back. And how do you strike back? You strike back with your money. You strike back with your vote. You strike back with the values that you imply impart in your children, and you strike back with you uplifting your community. So people can't come, and if something hits, it may either not affect you as bad, or you don't have to worry about it, or, you know what I'm saying, you guys, or we're so deep and so lockstep that we're not going to let it happen. Look at the Jews. I mean, you have to admire that in 1938, between 1935 and 1945, where they damn near were exterminated, and they came, and they're at the point where if anybody utters the word kike, will shut any and everything down. Whereas with us, you know, and I'm very guilty of it, very guilty of it, but we say nigger, you know what I'm saying, or punt porch monkey, you know, and at the moment somebody says that, it's okay, it's you're desensitized to it, there's no recourse behind it, you know. So let's get out, let's educate ourselves some more, let's do these things, so when we're no longer here, you know, to stand as the vanguards of our next generation is already armed and already ready to tack to carry on the fight, because we have done a very bad job these last two or three generations. We have done a very bad job in prepping the future generations for what is getting ready to come. If we would have did a better job, we would not be in the situation we are right now. I apologize for taking such a long closing.
No.
Eddie or Joe or Henry, y'all want to jump in and say something?
Just quick. Love you, brother. I love you, Joe. I love you, Eddie. Guys, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be a part of Four Men For Real.
Joe, Eddie?
No. Oh, thank you so much for speaking tonight. It was a good discussion.
Yeah, and excellent questions, kindly. Y'all be easy, man. Love y'all.
All right. Well, for everybody, again, we went into overtime, but the next show will be 2 weeks from tonight at 9:30. That one is entitled A Little Something for the Youngins. I believe I titled it A Little Bit Something for the Youngins. And that one is regarding generational wealth. So get your minds prepared for that conversation. We hope to see you 2 weeks from tonight at 9:30. I'm Conley. I got Joe, Henry, and Eddie on board, and we hope everybody have a pleasant, safe, good 2 weeks, and we will see you then. Peace.
Peace.